how terrible false teaching and false prophets are. But we've had a whole conference on this. But I want to draw your attention to the last verse, last two verses. As we end this conference, I think it's a great passage to go home with. And I want you to stand with me as I read these last two verses. It's usually given as a benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. It's by the Spirit of God that the whole Bible has been written, and as we look at this particular text, we should really rejoice in our hearts that ending his epistle, if you look at the start of his epistle, Jude was not picking pen and putting it to paper to write about false teaching, really. His original intention was, in verse 3, he expresses it, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation," Jude, like the other apostles, and like we should be, is glorying in the gospel. He's glorying in the gospel of Jesus, which is about our salvation, which is about a relationship with the living God, which he made available to us through the sending of his Son. And Jude wanted to write about that, but he was exercised in heart and mind to write about false teachers, because that is an important task of a good shepherd, of the flock of God, to warn God's people against false teaching. And even his warning in the whole epistle of Jude about false teachers is in keeping with his glorying in our common salvation. And so as he ends the epistle, he comes back to the God of the gospel. And he says two things about God, which brings great hope, great encouragement, and should be our strength as we live to please God. The first thing he says, and I'm looking at verse 24, God is able to keep his elect. He is glorying in the keeping power of God. Do you believe that? God can protect. God can keep. God will never let you go. As a young man in the church that I used to attend, I learned a hymn that has become one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorite hymns. Like I have a lot of favorite verses. People ask me, what is your favorite verse? How can you pick a favorite verse? The whole Bible should be our favorite, right? Every word of the Bible is God's word. But among all my favorite hymns, there's this hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," written by George Matheson when he lost the love of his life from the human perspective because he was going blind. And he was devastated, but he was drawn to the Lord Jesus and wrote this beautiful hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." As Jude talks about the capacity and the ability of God to keep us, he's saying he is able. When Jude uses the words he is able, he's talking about the power of Almighty God. Do you know God? How powerful is God? With his word, he was able to create the heavens and the earth. He is Almighty. And with all his power, demonstrated in his creative power, demonstrated in the way he raised Jesus from the dead, demonstrated in his miraculous power in bringing a sinner to salvation, in changing lives, God has power to protect the believer. If you look at the text, he is able to do what? He is able to keep you from stumbling. You don't have to trip and fall through the wiles of the enemy, through the wiles of false teaching, through the cunning of and deceitfulness of men. You don't need to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. As you gear yourself to study the Word of God and to be filled with the Word of God and to walk with God faithfully, he is able to keep you from being led astray. Amen. Go back absolutely confident in the keeping power of God. He is able to keep you from stumbling. The second thing that Jude draws our attention to is God is able not only to keep you, but he's able to present you. Present you. He is able to bring you into his glory, into heaven, into his presence, in the final resurrection, in glory. He is able to present you as a trophy of his grace. He is able to show you off to himself and to the heavenly hosts and to principalities and powers. He is able to present you. What? How? Blameless, faultless, perfected. Why did God save you and I? Why did God save you? To keep you. And through the sanctifying process to bring you to that day when you will be absolutely sinless, perfected in every way, to be like Jesus. Do you really believe that? One day, you're going to be perfect. That is the will of God. That is the purpose of God for saving you. And Romans 8, 28 onwards tells you that all things, good and bad, work together for good. And what is that good that they work together for? The will of God. And what is the will of God? That you should be conformed to the image of his Son. And Jude similarly is saying, God is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. And look at the sense with which God is able to present you perfect before the presence of his glory. It says, with great joy. I am amazed that God is going to rejoice in me, in you. He's going to be exceedingly happy when we all get to heaven. The happiest person in the whole of all creation in the universe is going to be God Almighty, because he has completed his purpose in saving us. So go home with great hope. Go home with great joy, because God is going to be the one with great joy when he has achieved his purpose in his ability to keep you after he has saved you and present you to himself, the presence of his glory, with great joy. The epistle ends as we should end. The epistle ends as it really is. From beginning to end, it's all about whom? It's all about him. And so it says, to the only God, our Savior, to him, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be, and count those things that it has to be to him and only to him. Count with me, first of all, glory, and then majesty. And as you think of the word glory, think of God himself. How glorious he is. How beautiful he is. How holy he is. And then think of his majesty, the radiance of his person. We give him all glory and majesty, and to him belongs the authority, the dominion, the power, the authority. He's sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He is in charge. And authority before all time and now and forevermore. From beginning, continuing now, and forevermore. And when we get to heaven, it'll be all about him. As we go back and do our church work, it's all about whom? It's all about God. Getting the glory, the majesty, the dominion, the power, the authority. The focus is on God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The triune God. It's all about God. Stand with me as we read together the closing words of Jude. Preaching in the light of false teaching. It ends with, read with me, verse 25, 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, both all time, now, and forevermore. Our Father, we thank you so much for a wonderful time together. And as we go back saying our goodbyes, help us to go with great encouragement, great hope, great confidence in your ability to keep us and then to bring us into perfection in glory. We will be the delight of your heart. What joy that brings to you, and Lord, what joy that brings to us. And we want to be careful, Lord, to give you all the glory, all the praise. We're grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and use you. Amen.